words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The lessons today remind us of the miracle of human dignity. And as I read the gospel, I was transported back to the edge of an ancient ruin in the town of Capernaum, which is where Jesus was, as Mark tells his story of healing and casting out of demons today. I was in Capernaum with a group from Trinity on a pilgrimage, and I had loved our pilgrimage in the Holy Land, but was a bit skeptic about the sites and how real they were. As we went to various people, our guide would say, well, this is where this could have happened. This is where the evangelicals say this happened, and this is where the Anglicans say this happened, and this is where the Orthodox say that happened. So up until that time, it had been very instructive and a great community building, and it had been wonderful, but it was in Capernaum that something happened. Up until that time, literal layers of history had been between us and the whole truth. But in the place we were, in the place in which the gospel takes place today, all factions agreed. These ruins were Peter's house. This is where the complicated, very human saint lived and loved Jesus. This is where they met together to talk about God's kingdom and purpose. This is where Peter's mother got sick. This is where Jesus healed her. This house, now ruined, was real, not metaphorical, no layers. Jesus had been here, right here. I've never doubted the existence of Jesus. Sometimes I would question some teaching of the church, but as far back as I can remember, I have been a believer. I've always believed in him, and yet somehow those ruins that day brought me closer to a newer understanding. I could imagine him as I stood there in Capernaum, in my mind's eye, right there where I was standing, not a presence, but a person. In our gospel today, that person asserts his authority to heal some of the sick and dying in that very town, that house where I stood. And those miracle healings of Jesus were attested to by so many sources, and that we have to believe, because of that, that the ruins of illness on that day, in a very limited way, those ruins brought Jesus closer to the hurting. When there is abuse, attack, rumors and lies, constant violence, we are tempted to cry or whisper even, is Christ here? We're tempted to long for the signs and wonders that occurred in his day. And we're tempted to ask, can I get a miracle? Can we get a miracle? Jesus responds, then and now, by offering the miracle of human dignity. He healed. He cast out demons. He proclaimed the kingdom, and he invited us into that miracle with him. Carolyn Lewis wrote that Jesus doesn't heal just to heal, just to prove himself, or just to confirm God's activity in the world. Jesus heals for the sake of, because of, and assuming that the kingdom of God is here, and that we are a part of that, that we have a role in it, and that Jesus needs us. We are needed to continue to witness and bring out miracles of human dignity. This past week, the past couple of weeks, actually, Olympian and Houstonian Simone Biles was one of the 156 women who found healing after the sickness of Larry Nassar was exposed. Quote, "I think the judge is my hero because she gave it to him straight and didn't let him get any power over any of the girls, and letting the girls go and speak was very powerful," she said, the Olympic gold medalist. Biles tweeted earlier this month about her admiration for the judge, for Judge Aquilina, thanking her for what she did during the trial. The judge gave the women athletes an opportunity to face the terrible thing that had happened to them and to face the man who had done it. But she did not want them to stay stuck, controlled, identified by what had been done to them. She wanted them to be free. She had the dignity. She wanted them to have the dignity that they deserved. She wanted them to have the chance to hold accountable and to heal. And she did not shy away. She used her authority for good. And at the end, she said to the women, "Leave your pain here. Go and do magnificent things." The person who writes the blog, Law and the Gospel, wrote about Mark's gospel, that it is such a hectic pace. Things happen one after another in this gospel. It's as if Mark wants you to see and take in everything all at once. At the beginning, the heavens are torn open at Jesus' baptism, and then there's the announcement that the time has been fulfilled for the Messiah to come, that the kingdom of God is near. Then Jesus casts out these demons and establishes his authority over them. And now in this gospel, he cures and he moves on. He says, "Because the reign of God has begun, all sorts of amazing things are happening. It is the melting of the snow in Narnia. It is the emergence of crocus from the ground in the spring. It is resurrection for the world. What could be greater?" We're not called to stay in the ruins, but to leave our pain there and go and do magnificent things. I want to tell you the story of Elizabeth Key. She's not from Jesus' time, and she's not from our time. She's a woman whom I read about in Ibram X. Kendi's book, Stamped from the Beginning, and she lived in the mid-1600s as a slave. Remember her name, a valiant African-American woman who fought for her freedom when it was taken from her. One of the many names of many valiant women we don't hear enough of. I, in fact, hadn't known who she was. I'm not going to go into all her legal significance, but just that hundreds of years before slavery was abolished in the United States, she fought for her freedom. She had taken on Christianity and believed in the miracle of human dignity when everyone, all powers and authorities, would have her believe she was nothing. Elizabeth Keys was the daughter of an unnamed African woman and a Newport News, that's Virginia, legislator, Thomas Key. She was her father's slave. But before his death, her father, Thomas Key, had arranged for his biracial daughter to be freed when she turned 15. So as he was dying, he tried to assure her freedom. Her subsequent masters, however, kept her enslaved. One of them was John Mottram of Virginia's Northern Neck. He was well known at the time, and he used his power to acquire fertile land, to solicit trade, to procure labor, and to keep legally free people like Elizabeth Key enslaved. By the standards of his time, he was quite successful. Quite successful. Kept this young woman and many others in slavery. At some point, she gave birth to a baby whose father was William Greenstead, an English indentured servant, an amateur lawyer, also on Mottram's plantation. And upon John Mottram's death in 1655, Elizabeth Key and William Greenstead successfully sued the estate for her and her child's freedom. Hundreds of years before slavery was officially abolished. A miracle of human dignity. Elizabeth Key had ravaged the ties that planters had unofficially used to bind Africans to slavery. In the essay, Journey with Jesus, it was written that Jesus only healed a small number of people in one tiny part of the world before he died, because he came to proclaim the kingdom of God, not to eliminate the human condition, not to eliminate the world's disease and despair, but to call us into God's activity in the world and to call forth the miracles of human dignities, especially when we forget whose we are and hurt each other. Jesus called us. The story, many understand, as not just a healing story, but a call story, a call to discipleship. Jesus called us to live as disciples into the mystery of the already and not yet. Yes, the kingdom of God has already come, and its inbreaking during Jesus' time on earth was marked by all kinds of signs and wonders. So the great task for us now, the great calling, the great journey is to live graciously and compassionately in this time, to offer comfort and steady presence to those who suffer, to advocate for those who are victims of injustice, to keep from making promises that are not ours to keep, but to keep the ones that we make, to create and to restore community, family. Church, friendship, Again, Jesus doesn't heal just to heal, just to prove himself, but to invite us into God's activity in this world, to direct the purpose and abilities of our life and skills, our God-giftedness, to manifest the truth, the authority, and the grace of God. May we this day and tomorrow, this week, this month, participate in some small way in reminding each other and bringing forth the miracle of human dignity. Amen.